Drop down dew, ye heavens, from above. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Speaking of signs, have you heard the one about the man who asked for two and got them both from God? It's in the Bible. Today's introit, Roate Caeli, is from Isaiah and makes a delicate allusion to it. King David wrote about this in the 71st Psalm. Let him, the Messiah, descend from heaven like dew upon the fleece. You may never have heard about Gideon and his fleece, but the fathers of the church did, and for them, this story stands for the virgin birth and for the Virgin Mary herself. But for Protestants, who of course know it well because it's in the book, laying out the fleece is a term for asking God for a sign. But they miss the main sign. That's the sorrow of it. The sign we see at Assumption each year. The great sign that appears in the heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. The moon at her feet and the stars about her head. Mary, who is evermore today, one century after Fatima, God's great sign to mankind. The story is from the Old Testament, the book of Judges, in the 6th chapter. As we start the chapter, God's people, the Israelites, are as usual being bad, and they've gone off to worship demons, Baal, and they've built altars to him, and God, as usual, punishes them by sending in invaders. In this case, it was a tribe from Arabia, Arabs, Madianites, and they were to devastate the land on a regular basis whenever harvest time came. Now, Gideon, hero of the tale, has just gone out to the wine press out back, in some secluded corner, to thresh the wheat. He was having a hard time doing it because you're meant to be able, in an open space, to throw the wheat up in the air, and the chaff gets carried off by the breeze, and the wheat, the good part, that falls to the ground. But he's there in these unusual, cramped circumstances so the enemy won't see him. And then an angel appears to him. Some say it is Michael, the archangel, and he greets him, Dominus tecum. You recognize that offertory verse today. The Lord is with thee. And then he praises him, most valiant of men. He calls him, and then he gives him a heavenly mission. Go and set Israel free from the power of Madian. Now, Gideon is a type or a foreshadowing in the Old Testament of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So you see the parallel. In both stories, there is an archangel, and then there is a greeting, Dominus tecum, the Lord is with thee, and then there is the praise. But Our Lady receives a full, threefold praise, and her mission, Ecce concipies, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. He shall save his people from their sins. And then, here, the story stops, that similarity is suspended in order to introduce a more sublime theme. Gideon asks God for a sign. Now, in the story, Gideon is every man, really. He puts out a lamb's fleece for the Lamb of God who's coming. Now, what's a lamb's fleece? That's wool. Perhaps for Our Lady's scapular, which is coming too. And he lays it on the ground, out in the open on a threshing rock. And he leaves it out overnight, and he asks that fleece alone should be wet with dew come dawn, but all the ground around it, that it should be dry. It is the next morning, as he asks, but not satisfied, Gideon goes after a second sign from the patience of God, upon which he presumes. Let the ground be wet tonight, dear Lord, he prays, and let the lamb's wool instead be dry. And so it is done. Now, what does this mean, over and above, that Gideon had his two signs and must now go and slay the Midianites? Why, it meant Mary. Mary bringing us Jesus. Oh, and something, too, about the Jews. The fleece represents, you see, according to the fathers of the church, the Jewish nation, favored with so many graces, wet with heavenly dew, while the rest of the world was barren and dry. But, second miracle, when the fleece was found to be dry and the ground damp, that stands for the coming of Christ, whereby the synagogue will be deprived of all of their graces and blessings, and they will be given instead to all the earth, to the Gentiles, by the heavenly dew, the water of baptism. This is crucial to understand. If you don't understand the teaching of the church about the Jews, you will never understand anything about the gospel of grace, and you will never understand anything about what they have done to our Holy Catholic Church. It is crucial. You see, our Lord in all of his parables and all of his instructions is saying that now it will pass. It will pass the great dignity of a child of Abraham to the Gentiles. The Old Testament now comes to an end. And thus you see the heresy of Vatican II and the blasphemy of the new church, of Bergoglio, with his rabbi pals sitting around the lunch table with their yarmulkes in place. They make of naught the grace of God. And the worst of it is this. Where's the charity? Who will, as saints did of old, preach to the Jews so that they might be converted and save their souls? It's all very sad. One Cistercian abbot of the Middle Ages thus salutes Our Lady. Hail, fleece of Gideon, into which the dew of heaven silently fell. So at the introit, the rorate, the dew dripping down from heaven, that stands for the virginal conception and the birth of our Lord. But it also points to its preparation in Mary, her immaculate conception. She is full of divine grace, that dew dropped down from above. Whereas the rest of our race was dry, no grace, we all of us conceived in original sin. The second sign, the fleece dry now, and all of the ground around it damp, well, that points out as well the Immaculate Conception, for Mary alone was preserved. She is the one exception, and all of the rest of the earth is touched. In the Annunciation, she alone, one woman, conceived the Messiah, the Promised One, by the Holy Ghost. One of his titles is the Dew of Heaven. And all of the other women of Israel were barren in comparison. At Christmas, Mary pours out this delightful heavenly dew upon our dry, parched earth. She gives her Jesus, who had been, remember, sweet guest of her soul for 9 months in her immaculate heart. She gives her Jesus to all of the earth, which, as we sing today, buds forth and brings forth a Savior. But her own heart remains dry, and soon Simeon's prophecy of the soul-piercing sword of sorrow will start to be fulfilled, and will be seven times. Gideon's fleece is so sublime a sign, pointing to Jesus through Mary. And to think, how sad, that those, the Protestants, who know their Bible so well, they miss it. Why? It's for want of a teacher. They have no mother, Holy Mother Church. Now we, you and I, we have the doctrine. And now you know, furthermore, the scripture. Remember that. If it comes up at a Christmas party with some Protestant, Judges 6, easy to keep in mind. But do you think, for us, that there might be a Gideon sign here? Surely you have a Madianite mission yourself. There are invaders in the land, and someone has to do something about it. The angel salutes Gideon as Braveheart, a man of valor. But that isn't how Gideon views himself. He's a modern man, in a sense. He's given himself and his soul quite a bit of analysis. And he was, he tells the angel, he was the least man of the least family of his tribe, the tribe of Manasseh, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. He knows, furthermore, very little about military matters, but one thing he knows, he's no hero. God doesn't listen to him. He sends him. Gideon insists on a sign. He sends them patiently, persistently. Listen to the story. It's only 5 sentences. All of the scripture is so compressed into just a few lines. Listen how Gideon sounds like any kid who is pleading with his dad. Please, just this once, let me stay out to midnight. And oh, please, too, could I have the car keys as well? Just this once. Gideon says to God, if thou wilt deliver Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry all on the ground, then I shall know that thou wilt deliver Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, let not thy anger burn against me, let me speak but this once. Pray, let me make trial only this once with the fleece. Pray, let it be dry only on the fleece, and on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground there was dew. He was still worrying. He wasn't sure, not for the sign, but about himself. That's why he asks for a second one. But you know, we don't have to be capable. We don't have to be brave. We don't have to know how. We can be as clueless as Gideon was, tempting God, if only we be willing, even at a distance, with a certain reserve, like Barkus and David Copperfield. Barkus is interested in marrying Miss Peggotty, but he doesn't act directly. He sends a message by a schoolboy. Barkus is willing, and that's all. That's how God defines courage. Our willingness to try it God's way, with all the help from others, of course, that we can get. God doesn't care that we are too young, too old, too burdened with our responsibilities, too sensible, and too busy looking proper and successful, or too busy at home changing diapers. God doesn't need, furthermore, to fix us first. Our Lord keeps the signs of his wounds after his resurrection because Thomas needed that sign so that he could go forth and carry out his mission to all the world. Redemption is nigh, we sing at Advent. And redemption means buying back. It doesn't mean repair. And with God, there is a no return policy, thank God. He has a use for all of us. He has a use for our ineptitude and our fear and our uncertainty, if only we're willing to try to be faithful to him. And to whom we are, his faithful. Sometimes this means some crazy notion that you resolutely ignore because you're mature and you're goal-oriented. Besides, you know it would never really work out anyway. Oh, God sees what is wrong with our lives. But he's not going to be thwarted by it any more than he was by Gideon asking again and again for his proof. Gideon hiding in the corner of his garden. Gideon, you know, finally did drive the Arabs out. The people rallied to his call to fight Madian. There was something about him they trusted, something Gideon, for all his soul-searching, never saw in himself. The moral of the tale for us, we who believe the doctrine, but who often fall short in carrying it out, it's about fear. Gideon cowering in his wine press, the big barrel. God fights fear with the fearful. Who'd have thought it? We can give in, or we can scare them off with the strength we know couldn't be ours. Do you ever stop in the middle of doing something which is particularly important and responsible and grown up and think to yourself, what am I doing here? I have no business doing this. And surely everybody else, they know it too. But so do we with God's help. As priests say when they take the anti-modernist oath before ordination, sic me adiuvat Deus, thus may God help me in these holy gospels of God. Today, for the epistle, the church is thinking about the priesthood. My God, a priest must sometimes stop and pray. Look, they're telling me their most secret sins. And then I'm forgiving them. And then on Sunday I get up and I tell them what's what. And then I go to the altar and I take bread and I make it into thy body. And then I take a baby and make him to be part of thy body, the mystical body of the church, by the heavenly dew that I have in my soul forever. And I have no business doing any of it. I know, says the priest, my faults and my ignorance. I know better than the most perspicacious of my internet foes. And I know that the best of us today could not compare with the least of the priests of yesterday, whose shoelaces really we are not worthy to unlace. And yet, the choice of God. Now, you, what's your excuse? I don't even judge myself, says St. Paul. I just keep on going. I keep on doing his will. If you dare to see that, then you are in God, and God is in you. Who knows the Madianites you may yet chase out of your life or your family? Invaders who waste the land whenever they get in. We will never know who we really are or what we can do to put things right until we put our trust not in ourselves. We know ourselves too well for that, I'm sure. Our ground is dry. Spera in Deo, we pray at the Mass. Hope in God. After all, do not we too have great Michael as our guardian angel? Do not we too have a mother who clothes us in the miraculous sign of a bit of blessed lamb's wool, all wet with heaven's grace? The Lamb of God, isn't he about to be born for us again in the silence of midnight in a few days' time, coming down from heaven all quietly and peacefully, like dew from heaven? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.